Hey, hey, it's KJ, and this is Midwest Bias Podcast. Thank you for tuning in, or tuning in is not the right word. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening, okay? Thank you for listening. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. Surprise, a bonus episode. We had not intended on doing another episode this week. We kind of did our Thanksgiving extravaganza episode last week, but here we are again. Mainly just wanting to thank you all. Thank all the listeners for listening. That's what I'm thankful for. I appreciate your support. I appreciate your listening, especially through the hiatus that I took a while back. I'm certain there will be more hiatuses coming. You know, I don't know what the future is going to bring, but I do appreciate your listening and your support and your generosity and just everything. Love y'all. All right, let's get right into it. Let's bring in my Midwest guest co-host of the day.
Time for the Midwest guest co-host. She's the best co-host of the day. Yeah, it's the Midwest guest co-host. Yeah, you betcha she'll know just what to say.
Well, yes, it is time for our Midwest guest co-host of the day. Please welcome back the Hall of Famer.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. We were going to just do a taste test, just for an excuse to drink more beer this Thanksgiving holiday. But we decided, well, you had a Hall of Fame, I wouldn't call it a correction, but a clarification. A couple of those will come up throughout the show, I think. And then we got some Twitter talk from last week's podcast. We just thought we'd do a little bit of that before we move on to the taste test.
That makes sense. I mean, when there's a need, you must fulfill that need.
That's true. That's true. Oh, and you know what? Well, we'll bring that up later. So the clarification, I'm going to call it, the Hall of Fame clarification, I mentioned last week to Karen that when we were discussing the whole, do you get the whole week of Thanksgiving off? Do you get just Thursday and Friday? Do you get Wednesday through Friday? What do you get? And we were surmising that, and you also said that you used to get the whole week off where you grew up because of hunting season. And then I mentioned that you were in this hunting class. I called it a hunting class, and that you were allowed to bring loaded rifles to school. And you felt like maybe my explanation of that was a little simplified and wanted to expand on it a bit. Am I understanding that correctly?
Correct. Correct. You're on the right page, but you're really... you're not selling it well enough.
This class, you need to sell bringing a loaded rifle to school?
No, but it was part of a larger
It wasn't class. Just hunting?
No, it's not a hunting class. I mean, how barbaric do you think we are where I grew up in my rural town?
Well, I don't know. I mean...
in small town Wisconsin.
Well, I guess I was thinking hunter safety. Like, you know how you can go out and get hunting safety?
Well, hunter safety,
you have to go out and get a hunter safety license, I think, don't you?
I think you do if you're under a certain age.
I guess that's what I was thinking. Well,
this was.
I know what I was thinking. Target. Like, I was thinking in my head, I was putting together archery and rifle shooting.
Okay.
There's a target that you guys were shooting at, or like when the cops or the FBI practice shooting that target, and they pull it close to them and see how close they get to the guy.
It wasn't quite like that, but let me explain, because it was pretty awesome. So this class was called Survival Skills, and it was one of the PE electives. And one of the requirements, if you signed up for this class, is you had to wear camouflage every single day to class. Otherwise, you got docked points.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So I always had my camo pants on, and we did different things, like we built forts, and we foraged the woods back behind our school. We had a lot of acreage, fields and trails and woods back behind there. So we would go and forage for greenery to then cook up and eat. And we built forts, and we had to do, there were some running pieces to it. We had to stay fit. So really, if we need to survive in the woods for a long period of time, what that would take. And part of that was learning how to shoot guns and do archery.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So in fact, so they were not loaded guns. You didn't bring loaded guns to school. You did bring your guns ammunition, but the guns weren't loaded.
Well, you could easily load them in your locker.
Yes. Oh, yeah, easily. Because, and they had to be, the rule was the gun had to be in a case. So that was the rule.
That's really, really preventative.
But yes, I do remember walking down the halls to my class, because in the morning when you got there, you had to bring your gun to school. And so I'm walking through the halls with my gun, no big deal. And you wouldn't see that anymore. But we were shooting trap out back. So right out behind the school.
Oh, shooting trap out back. Yep. Oh,
and our principal joined in on the fun. And it was awesome. And then we did archery where we went, and not just right at school. We had this really cool little archery range where you walk through the woods and they had like stands set up and you'd shoot from the stands to the fake deer. So it was, pretty realistic stuff. Like I felt like I could really survive in the wilderness after that class.
Okay. Was Ron Swanson the instructor?
You know what? My instructor had an awesome stash just like him. Mm. But he was missing out on the cool hair, although my instructor had a pretty rockin' mullet. So maybe,
of course he did.
Yeah, maybe Ron's cousin. I don't know.
Oh, of course he did. Now it's all coming together.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess I undersold it a little bit.
Big time. I mean, who doesn't want to take that class?
Oh, I'm sure there are people that don't want to take that class.
And is it offered now? Probably not. And if it
is... Well, if it is, there's a big couple units missing.
Yeah. Well, they'll still do the archery piece.
Yeah, maybe.
But when we went, we would just pile into cars and leave school and go. And some of us would ride with the instructor. Some of us, we'd just carpool. I don't think you could do that anymore. No,
simpler days.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm glad you're here today to clarify that. We would not have gotten that explanation if we went right to beer drinking.
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah.
Just to kind of really paint a picture of what my school was like, you would see out in the parking lot trucks with guns in the back. I'm drawing a blank on what they were. Gun cases. Out the back, a gun rack. Yep. Oh. Yeah, there'd be a gun rack in the back of the truck. So you could see it. You could just see guns, at school. No problem. Just some country living.
That's what you see in Texas. Gun racks.
Yep. Yep. Gun racks were prevalent in my district.
Okay. I didn't think Wisconsin was... Are gun racks allowed anymore in Wisconsin?
I don't know. I'm not sure if they are anymore, but they were like
in Texas.
Yeah, maybe.
Still,
it was almost like they were on display. Like check out.
Yeah,
my guns.
Don't mess with me though.
No, I think
don't ride
really.
My ass because I got guns here.
I don't think it was.
You don't think so?
No,
I think so. I think there's a little bit of machismo in there. Besides, look at my cool guns.
Maybe
it's more like don't mess with me.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think that... I haven't seen a gun rack in Wisconsin for a while.
No.
I don't think they're legal anymore.
Probably not. But I'm
happy about that.
I'm almost certain that that's... If I'm remembering correctly.
Well, you probably are. If you're taking guns to school and shooting and able to bring ammunition and the guns into school, there's probably gun racks in the trucks.
Most likely.
Okay, so let's do some Twitter talk.
All right.
Ellen Vanderlinden at EllenVL says... I'm so hungry for Thanksgiving dinner. One tip for Karen. To choke down her pumpkin pie, real whipped cream is so much better than Cool Whip. So, Karen has another tip here after this one. And I'm assuming that Ellen was listening to the podcast when she tweeted this out and was getting hungry based on all the food talk. Now, when you were listening, you mentioned that you view pumpkin pie similar to Karen.
That's right.
In that you don't really love it. You just eat it because it's a Thanksgiving tradition and you gotta eat it. Is that right?
Pretty much. Like that's just what you do at Thanksgiving. There's pumpkin pie, there's pecan pie, and you just go for it. Where normally I don't eat those things. I'm not like, ooh.
Yeah, but
in January, I'm craving some pumpkin pie. No.
I mean, I kind of get that because I don't drink eggnog any other time of the year for except for Christmas.
Yeah, same type of deal.
But I like eggnog. If you don't really like pumpkin pie, just eat something else.
No, I like it. It's not that I don't like it, but I'm not... If it was between pumpkin pie and most other pies, I wouldn't take pumpkin pie.
Yeah,
but in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I need some pumpkin pie.
But you also said you'd put Cool Whip on it.
A lot of it, yes. I prefer the half and half method that Karen uses.
Okay, but what about the real whipped cream?
Yeah, that's exceptional.
We've made real whipped cream before.
Yes.
It's not that difficult. It just is a little time consuming.
Yeah, and it's well worth it.
It's really good.
Way better than Cool Whip. Although Cool Whip has been a staple in our Thanksgiving meals with our pumpkin pie.
You mean like ours, you and me?
No.
Or, I was going to say growing up. I don't remember that.
Mm-hmm. Me growing up.
Yeah. I didn't think you had much Thanksgiving growing up.
Yes, we did.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought you were always out hunting for Thanksgiving. Your dad was always hunting.
We always did something for Thanksgiving, but it was like always at our house, and it was maybe just my family, or maybe it was some people that came, but it wasn't always like the same group of people that came.
Mm.
Yes. But hunting, we are always hunting. We always came in for our Thanksgiving meal. But we didn't ever travel for Thanksgiving.
But you didn't hunt.
Yeah, I did. I only hunted one and cried,
and then you never hunted again.
Yeah, I only hunted for like 2 years.
Yeah.
I did hunt one year after that, but really I just fell asleep and had snacks.
Yeah.
And then watched some deer go by
really
and didn't
shoot
at it.
Shoot it.
No. I was one and done.
You shot one and done.
Yeah, I'm like, this is not for me.
Yeah.
I watched it go down. I'm like, that wasn't very fun.
Yeah, I understand. Now, I should mention that last week was technically the Thanksgiving extravaganza episode. And this is airing after Thanksgiving, the weekend after Thanksgiving. But we haven't actually had our Thanksgiving meal yet. And we are not having pumpkin pie. We are having banana cream pie.
Yes, we are. And I cannot wait to eat it.
So last year during the pandemic, I don't remember if we just decided I don't want to cook, or maybe we're all just bummed out that nobody could come. And so you, me, and Mama too, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got Hy-Vee. We got a prepared meal from Hy-Vee where you just put it in the oven for a couple hours before. So it's cooked, but you have to heat it up.
Yep.
And that was quite good.
Yeah, it was.
And so we did that again this year.
It was well worth it. It's good food, and you don't have to waste all that time cooking. I mean, there were only three of us last year, and this year there's only four of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of food to have to make, and all that time for four of us.
So we were allowed to pick the pie that we wanted, and pumpkin was on the list, but neither one of us even looked at it twice.
No.
We both went for banana cream, so did Mama. So it was a 3 for 3. Okay, so the next tweet is Oz the Great and Flavorful, Steve Osbolt, at Emerald City Catering. That's EmeraldCityCater. He also has, I think, a tip for Karen. It was a great podcast. Just don't depend on the little pop-up turkey indicators or your bird will be desert dry. So I don't know what Karen ended up with. And by the time she gets these tips, Thanksgiving's going to be over. So I bet you she went with the Cool Whip, Ellen, and I guess I can't report Steve on what they ended up with for their turkey, what kind of turkey they ended up with. But I did reach out to Karen the next morning after she was to have the sister meeting that I wanted to be on the wall for, a fly on the wall for. And I asked her how it went. And she gave me permission to read this text.
Now, before you read this text, do you feel that it might be important enough to let Karen know about this whole meat thermometer thing, that maybe we should text her this really important information? Time-sensitive information.
No, because I think it's hilarious.
Oh, boy. Sorry, Karen. I would have texted you.
I asked her how the sister meeting was. It went relatively smoothly. I thought the price of turkey would be the stickler. In fact, it was Sister Martha's proposal to change the mashed potato recipe to using half russet and half Yukon gold. We worked through it, though, and Martha got her way per usual.
Martha.
And I commented that I felt like this was this I just didn't even understand that this would be a controversy, changing the recipe to half russet and half Yukon. It actually makes me wonder, was it full Yukon or full russet? I don't know. I didn't ask that question. And then, but I did tell her I didn't feel like this would be a controversial topic. And she said, as Sister Sue said, it's a subtle change, but there are implications. She never shared what those were, and no one was compelled to ask. So that's how their meeting went. Now, granted, we could tell her ahead of time not to use the little pop-up turkey indicator. But the reason I don't feel compelled to do that is because I do not think that that's what they ended up with.
Oh, really? You think they went all out with the...
I think they went somewhere in between. And I think that aside from Karen, the other sisters know what they're looking for in the turkey. And they probably know that the pop-up indicator is not necessary.
That's
junk. It's not reliable.
Yeah.
And as far as the real whipped cream goes, that could be something that we could share. But by the time we shared that, I think it'd be too late. They'd have to run out and get ingredients and...
Yeah.
Okay, the next one from Michelle Pendleton at M. Pendleton. You were very close on the pink stuff. No Jell-O in this one. The pink comes from cranberries, which is why it's a Thanksgiving requirement. But yep, correct about the mini marshmallows and the Cool Whip. And she also included a picture of the recipe, so you can look up M. Pendleton on Twitter in the Midwest Bias feed, and you can see that recipe if anybody really wants it. And you can't find it, let me know and I can try and find it, or let Michelle Pendleton know at M. Pendleton. But it's got cranberries, 3 to 4 apples, a cup of sugar, half to 1 cup of sugar, mini marshmallows, a package of that, and a cup of chopped pecans, which are optional.
Ooh.
Or pecans.
You wouldn't want those.
And one small container of Cool Whip. And it says in parentheses, light is fine. It does look good. And speaking of Hy-Vee, we were in there the other day to pick up our meal. Yesterday, I guess. Yes. And we saw the pink stuff in a glass.
At the deli.
The deli, yeah.
Yeah, at the deli. I felt the need to call you over and point it out to you.
Yeah, they advertise it as cranberry fluff, but we both said that's the pink stuff. And later, Michelle did tweet us a picture of her actual pink stuff, and it looked just like it.
Yeah.
I think I'd actually like this.
I do, too. I feel like I should try it sometime.
I do not like cranberries. You know this. I don't like the cranberries. I always leave the cranberries. It's a dish that I never... I mean, I love my stepsister, Terry. Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop of the week.
Terry makes a great, I'm told, a great cranberries. She doesn't do the whole can with the ribbing on it, but I never take it.
I'm not a big fan of it either, but that fluff I would be into because all that sugar in there and it's... The cranberry tartness is watered down with, or sweetened up, I should say, with some sugar and some Cool Whip. And
I should say, we are talking again about food a fair amount, but yes, I think that people that are listening to this after Thanksgiving are probably stuffed and it won't make them as hungry. And in response to the pink stuff, Jason Fuse. Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop. Of the week.
Jason at Judafuse says, 100%. From years of experience in the South going to family get-togethers as a kid, this is for sure officially called the pink stuff. So
really?
That's interesting. So he's calling it the pink stuff in the South, not just... I'm assuming that it comes from Michelle's family in Colorado where they started calling it the pink stuff, which I would definitely not characterize as the South. So interesting. Kim Wilson at Kim Wills 33. My family calls it stuffing. And we actually have two kinds of thing on Thanksgiving, one with sausage and one without.
Mm.
We also do a corn, quote unquote, pudding, which I believe was a Paula Deen recipe my cousin's wife found.
Corn and pudding, like, they shouldn't even be in the same sentence. That's how I feel.
I
think of pudding as, like, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Corn, pudding, pass.
Yeah, I'd need to see a picture of that. And I did request this year that we make the stuffing without sausage, but I was overruled. I kind of didn't want it in there anymore.
Yeah, but you didn't have a really good reason. It wasn't a compelling reason to take it out. Because you said you liked it.
I said I don't like it as much. I'd prefer it without. I think that's a pretty good reason.
But then you said you did like it.
I said I don't want one that's really spicy, and I have a hard time finding a sausage that's... Those breakfast sausages are spicy. I don't want them.
I found mild.
Yeah, you did. So we'll see how it turns out.
You'll like it.
Okay, and we got one long letter from Jolene, and it's long because we asked Jolene for her, what would Jolene do?
That's right. When you ask, she delivers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she does. She says, please excuse my tardiness in responding to your fabulous podcast. My school fundraiser is finally in the books, so I should get my life back a little more now. Winky face emoticon. And thank you, KJ, once again for supporting the event by purchasing a raffle ticket. Absolutely, Jolene. Hope it was a great success. Back to Jolene. First of all, I'm glad the Hall of Famer and I continue to agree on things. Now, I will add here that the Hall of Famer has not seen this, doesn't know what Jolene said here, but when I just read that first sentence about the Hall of Famer and I continuing to agree on things, the Hall of Famer got a big smile on her face.
Yeah, I'm just like, it's my girl.
First of all, so I'll reread that. First of all, I'm glad the Hall of Famer and I continue to agree on things. It will worry me if we start seeing things differently. So I'm glad she encouraged you to call the police when you witnessed the argument/disturbance that you discussed on the podcast. I had a similar situation once at a convenience store. I was getting gas and I saw a guy and a girl arguing as they came out of the store. The fight continued as they headed to their vehicle. I felt I had to do something right then and called the police. The couple were arguing in their car, stayed parked in their spot, and she looked afraid. I can still picture it. I directed the police that they were on the west side of the building, which I'm going to add, that's fabulous, because I don't know northwest, south. Did she have a compass in the car, or did she just know that?
That's really impressive.
Because I wouldn't have known that. I've been like, the left side? Yeah. As you pull in from this way, it's on the left? Anyway, she said, then I waited in my car until they arrived, which was just a few minutes, then left. The police did not ask my name when I called in. This was so many years ago, though I'm sure procedures have changed. You did the right thing. Thank you, Jolene.
I'm impressed that she waited for them to arrive, too.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah.
And I that's the reason that I ultimately decided to call it in. Like I said, I told you, well, I kind of already knew I should, and I just called you, probably more for backup, but I wasn't certain of what was happening. So if I knew exactly that this was not a potential violent situation, I wouldn't have done anything. But I felt like if I could do something to prevent that, I should.
Better be safe than sorry.
Yeah. So thank you, Jolene, for that. It looks like you and the Hall of Fame are aligned. And, I mean, I did too because I didn't. Next topic. I do know the motorcycle biker wave. A two fingers pointed down as my hubby has a Harley and does the quote-unquote biker wave and receives it all the time. However, I know nothing else about it other than every biker knows it. There we go. So it's not just Midwest.
No, it's a nationwide deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe even universal.
Maybe.
Your last podcast discussed opening packages and carefully putting them back together nicely if the item just doesn't quite work. And she wrote that in italics. Just doesn't quite work. Nope. You gotta take it home, and if it doesn't work, then you can return it. The stores love people like me. Currently, I have baby bottles, nipples that were the wrong size, a men's white dress shirt from Kohl's, and something else in my car that all need to go back. Who knows if I'll find time to get them all returned. If it is a completely resealable package, then I agree with you and Karen, and it's probably okay. By the way, if we are grocery shopping in the morning, Tim always eats a glazed croissant or two and takes the empty bag up to the register when we check out. Completely acceptable. So before you answer, because I know that, well, before you answer, I will just say I'm shocked that she thinks it's completely acceptable to eat, to unwrap things and just bring up the wrapper. I'm shocked at that. I thought that, you know, because I said that my dad did that and I grew up with that. I would not think that Jolene would think that was appropriate or acceptable.
Well, yeah, your dad doesn't believe in any rules whatsoever. No. It doesn't seem like he does his own thing.
He's got the Bob rules going on. So Karen thought that you would do exactly what Jolene would do, which is Jolene has confirmed that she would take it home and return it later.
Yes.
Karen thought the same of you. I said in her case, I don't agree. I think she would not have a problem returning it.
Yes.
right?
Yeah.
Because, Karen said that Jolene would buy it and then just not return it.
Exactly.
Like it, yeah. And it sounds like maybe that's the case. Maybe Jolene will not get the men's dress shirt and the baby bottle nipples and quote unquote something else, which I want to know what that something else is, Jolene. Mm-hmm. She might not get those back. So maybe Karen's kind of right. But I said.
But it's not that she doesn't want to, though. Like, she's against returning things. It's if she has time.
If she has time, which mm-hmm. to me, if I got something that needs to be returned, I want that money back. Mm. And we have two things, Ace Hardware and the local Runnings. It's a Runnings, I think, is a Midwest store.
I think it might be.
Mm-hmm. It's like a Fleet Farm or a Menards or a Home Depot, kind of. Mm-hmm. It's like a farm.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got fencing materials to return to both those places.
Yes,
we are going to return them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I said that I think you'd have no problem returning items because I know, because we've returned many items. But I think I said that you would not open something that you couldn't put together back together nicely.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
Yes. Yeah. If like Jolene, what she was saying, if it's something that I can easily open, take out, and put right back in and it looks just like it did, great. But if I have to like break open the package or open a bag or anything like that, I'm not doing any of that. I'll bring it home.
And okay, then I'll return it. I nailed it, is what you're saying.
You sure did.
And you and Jolene kind of, I don't think Jolene will be worried that you didn't align exactly on this particular item because she's basically saying that it's probably okay if it's completely resealable.
Mm-hmm.
But she says you cannot open it. You must, if you're going to make anything, any type of mess, you must take it home.
Yeah, because they need to be able to resell it as it is. Mm-hmm. And if you're breaking into the packaging and you can't just sell it immediately, you basically have to give it to them and they have to fix it up so they can resell it.
Yeah, or you leave it on the shelves and let them find it later.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No way. As a Menards worker.
Former
Menards employee.
Mm-hmm.
I would not suggest that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, last part. Since I'm hoping this makes the Thanksgiving podcast. Sorry, Jolene. It makes the Thanksgiving weekend podcast.
Makes part two.
And you talked about crock pots again. Here is a recipe I introduced to my family for Thanksgiving maybe 10 years ago, and it's become a favorite. Crock-pot creamed corn! ! It's great because with so many other dishes needing the oven and stove, being able to use the crock-pot is perfect. Happy to share this one with the Midwest Bias crew. Again, we haven't had our meal yet, and looking at this recipe, I actually think it would be a good one to add.
Yeah.
But we don't have time this year, but maybe next year. We'll put the recipe in the show notes if people are interested in this recipe, because I can just copy and paste it, whereas the one that Michelle Pendleton sent in was a picture, like a screenshot. So I can put this in the show notes. But speaking of crock pots, before I share this recipe, I forgot to mention last week that we make our world-famous stuffing.
World-famous.
Wait for it. In a crock pot.
Yes, we do.
And same idea. Free up the stove a little bit. Free up the oven. And it's really good in there, especially without sausage. So the recipe, I'm not going to read the recipe, but I'll tell you the ingredients. 2 16-ounce bags of frozen corn. Here it is right here. 2 bricks of cream cheese.
Wow.
A stick of butter, milk, and white sugar.
Oh, goodness.
And it's in the crock pot. And yeah, she says, I am not a good cook, but this makes me look at least decent. Smiley face emoji. Happy Thanksgiving to you all and happy birthday, KJ. Thank you.
That's even something we could try at Christmas when we have our
absolutely.
Family over for that.
Absolutely. And speaking of my birthday, the Three Rivers Cookbook arrived from Bob Sproul. Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop. Of a week.
So thank you so much, Bob. I'd like to point out that the front of the cookbook has, in the middle, the whole front of the cookbook is a funicular, which Bob says no one in Pittsburgh actually calls it a funicular. They call it the inclines. But that is the center of the cookbook.
Yeah, it's a feature piece.
A feature piece, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's also, there's a picture of the Three Rivers, you know, the area where all the bridges are. But yeah, Three Rivers Cookbook 1. It says award-winning, top-rated Ladies Home Journal, Town and Country, 21st Print, USA Today, and Southern Living. And it's cool because it's one of these, like, three-ring binder type cookbooks. And just scrolling through it, you had found one that you thought was kind
of
funny.
Well, my favorite part of this cookbook is it will tell you what the recipe is. So it'll like this one is chicken breast and sour cream. But then underneath on some of them, there are quotes. Under this one, it says, "Husbands, go for this." Well,
I guess we can't cook that.
I know, and it sounds like it would be interesting. But
yeah, but we can't do it.
Can wives go for this too?
Oh, here's another one. Chicken wild rice casserole. Great party dish. All the men had seconds.
I mean, come on. Okay. You gotta love that.
Yeah.
Or this one. Tuna cashew casserole. Unusual fare.
Yeah. Oh, and here's another one. This may be what Kim Wilson, she didn't get it from Paula Deen. She got it from the Three Rivers Cookbook, Part 1. Easy corn pudding. 2 cups cream-style corn. Flour, sugar, salt and pepper, melted butter, eggs, and milk. Ah, well, that sounds good. Don't call it pudding. You're confusing me by calling it pudding.
Yeah.
It just makes it seem worse. It probably has a consistency of pudding in some way. And here's another one that I love. Beets with orange. Quote, best beets ever, end quote. So I'm excited to try some of these. So thank you very much, Bob.
It's an excellent cookbook. Can't wait.
Well, since we haven't actually technically had our Thanksgiving meal yet, I am super hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have food, but we've got beer.
Ooh, ooh.
Taste test with the Hall of Famer.
Well, yes, it is time for the taste test with the Hall of Famer. And we have the three final beers from Patrick Moffitt, the Western beers, the Salt Lake City beers. What do we got, Hoffer?
Who's getting sauce tonight?
Maybe me.
Little three-pack.
Yeah.
All right. First one up is Roja Brewing Project. And they are from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay. And what's the ABV? I'm surprised you didn't read that off first.
Well, I'm working on it. It's kind of, this one's hard to read. There's lots going on here.
Well, I have my glasses on.
Oh, it's not that. I read it just fine.
Oh,
it's
I see.
There's just a lot happening here, and I'm not actually seeing it. Unless okay. What's that little bit at the bottom?
Independent Craft Brewers Association, so it's certified by them.
Okay. I don't think it's on there.
I don't see it.
It does give a description.
Yeah, and then I like what it says what it pairs with.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So this is a Back Porch Pale Ale.
Oh, God, I'm not going to like it.
Yep. Hop Forward.
But oh, it's not I'm not going to like it.
Yeah, but is it like an IPA? So we'll see. I don't think
hop
so.
Hop Forward is what
I mean.
Yeah,
Hop Forward, golden-colored ale with a glint of amber. It is a precise balance of malt and bitter. I don't like bitter. The hallmark of a great pale ale. It's a daily drinker, your go-to beer for every occasion. Brewer's Secret. Well, it's not a secret anymore if they're sharing it.
Hmm.
A trio of hops for a perfectly balanced pale ale. And it pairs with rocking chairs, summer nights, and river trips.
Kim Wilson.
You need a Roja Back Porch Pale Ale.
So if it pairs with a rocking chair, it's not going to work for me because beer and rocking chairs don't work typically for me, especially if I drink too much beer.
I don't know if I was overly aggressive with this.
There's a lot of fuzz.
Can, but when I opened it, it was overflowing with fuzz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that.
And there is quite a bit ahead on this when I poured it. We are kind of in a darker room right now, so it's kind of hard to tell the color. But it is more of an amber color.
Yeah, it looks more amber.
I wouldn't say it's pale.
No, it's not pale.
No. Let's give it a smell. It smells like your go-to, your everyday beer. That's what it smells like.
Oh, great.
Just like it says.
Like Coors Light then or something?
Craftier than that.
Let's review the rating system that we never use. Zero is...
Sorry, I just took some.
That's okay. Zero is... Ish. One is criminy. Two is ufta. Three, it's interesting. Four, geez, it's good. Five,
yeah, betcha.
What would you give it?
I'm going to give it a 3. There's a little bit of that bitter aftertaste that I'm not a fan of.
So you would not order this again?
I don't think so. But yeah, it's not bad.
You know what? It smells like, it does smell better than your typical beer.
Yeah, I don't
it smells, you know what it smells like is the hop. And yeah. I don't like hop. Here we go. Yeah, and that's a no. That's a 3.
What?
3
that's
minus.
A no and a 3?
It's not terrible. It's not like, if I rate it a 2 or lower, that means I really don't like it.
Okay.
But 3, it's not like, this is decent.
It is interesting.
Mm-hmm. It has an interesting aftertaste.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the aftertaste.
I don't love it,
yeah.
But I don't hate it. So it's a 3.
Well, good. It lingers. It stays with you.
Yeah. It is still there.
Yeah.
So we will probably have to fight over who drinks that one for the rest of the evening.
Next one is from Sawtooth Brewery.
Kim Wilson probably would like this. Roja.
I think so.
Because it's a river beer.
Well, yeah, it's a river beer. Why wouldn't you? And it is nice and light that.
I mean, you're not going to order it again.
No, but it would be good for like a summery night. And it is light and crisp.
You're coming around on it. Is it a 3+?
No, still a 3. But I get the idea behind it.
Okay.
Sawtooth Brewery from Haley, Idaho. And this one is called False Idaho. Summit. Idaho. False Summit Amber Ale. This one gives the IBU rating of a 31.
Oh, IBU rating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's 5.6% alcohol by volume. It's a dry hopped amber ale. Hopped again. Hopped.
More hopped.
Yeah, I don't like to get hopped.
I don't either. I don't like hops.
All right.
I've decided that.
This one does not give us much information about, you know, what's all in it or whatever.
It's a cool can, though.
It is a cool can. So the other one, the Roja, is it's a green and white can. Pretty simple but cool looking. Where the Sawtooth Brewery is far more adventurous, I would say. Like, I feel like I should go hiking with this beer.
Well, yeah, and this is also certified by the Brewers Independent Craft Brewers Association.
You gotta love that.
Yeah, there's a guy, a mountain climber, summiting the beer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a false summit, though. Okay, Amber Ale.
Let's open it. Whoa, more head. Yikes.
Okey-doke.
Yikes.
Gonna be an interesting Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Ooh, this one is a little darker.
So there's a fair amount of head there.
Ooh, yeah, that's
definitely amber.
That's amber right there.
What's it smell like?
Okay,
teen spirit.
More woodsy, oaky.
Back to Ron
like
Swanson.
Like a hearty ale, a hearty amber ale is what it smells like. Let's give it a go.
Oh, I don't think I'd like it then.
Oh, I like that.
Oh,
I like that a lot. It's nice and smooth. That is a good beer.
Oh.
Didn't it say something about hoppy, dry hopped amber ale? I don't really, there is a bit of an aftertaste.
But you like it.
I do like it.
Dry hopped amber ale. Todd Decay, will you tell the Hall of Famer why she likes this one with a lot of hops, but she didn't like the other one? Well, is it perhaps not the hops that she doesn't like?
Maybe. And I don't know really how hoppy it is. But I'm giving that a 4.
Ooh, ofta. Yeah. I mean, oh, Jesus.
Oh, jeez. I just really like how smooth it is. But I'm not a fan of the aftertaste, but that's why you just keep drinking.
I can't really smell much on this one. It certainly
doesn't.
You're not
smelling woodsy?
No. Mm. I really just smell the glass.
Oh.
It smells like, you know, Dawn dish soap or whatever.
That's a downer.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Oh.
See?
That is better. That's better than I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Isn't that nice and smooth?
That's really smooth. I'll try that again.
I could see sitting on the front porch drinking that.
Not in a rocker, though.
No.
Yeah, that's, I'm going to give it a 4-.
Oh.
There is a little aftertaste, but it's better than the first one.
Is there a difference between a 3+ and a 4-?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. One's slightly better than the other. The 4- is better than the 3+.
Oh, okay.
I adapted that from the manual muscle testing from physical therapy.
Oh, okay. Nerd.
So they're the same idea.
Okay, I guess it'd be like in
someone
school.
Someone who scores a 3+ is weaker than someone who scores a 4-.
Oh, okay. I guess I could count that as like a B+ versus an A-.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, all right.
It's not nerdy.
Well, it is when you said where
it's
you got
just
it
just scholarly is what it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay, the final.
The final is definitely tailored to you.
I think you saved the best for last here.
I tried to work on the scale of darkness.
Okay. Well, you did so far.
Uh-huh.
The one that you called amber in this light and when compared to the second one, the False Summit, the Fall Summit is definitely more amber. Yes. And in this light, I think that it is more golden, that yep. first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not pale, but more golden.
Correct.
This one is from Rogue Brewing Company. Rogue Ales from Newport, Oregon. And it is hazelnut brown nectar. I don't know if you'll like this one all that much because it's still an ale.
Yeah, and I don't really like browns anymore. Mm-hmm.
It's ale with natural hazelnut flavor.
I might like that.
Yeah. So I'm kind of curious about this.
Is there international Ooh. Bitterness units? Because I don't drink beer unless the yes. IBUs are rated or okay. listed. Okay, okay. go yep, ahead.
33.
Oh, okay. So the other one was 31.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Yep, and 5.6 alcohol by volume.
Same as the Fall Summit.
Yep. A nutty twist to a traditional European brown ale. Oh. Dark brown in color with a hazelnut aroma. We'll see about that. A rich nutty flavor and a smooth malty finish. Interesting. And there's a cool picture on it, and it's a nice simple looking can. Kind of a light brownish color, khaki color, and then on the front a cracked hazelnut.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a nice can. I like the decoration. Mm-hmm. Let's see if this one fuzzes all over me. No.
Good.
It's lacking head.
Oh, yeah. That's the darkness factor is darker
yep.
on that one.
Yep, it is definitely darker.
Good job picking that out.
Ooh, you can smell the hazelnut, the nuttiness to it.
She's going for it.
Oh.
The face does not approve.
It's very nutty.
Okay.
Like,
well, we like.
I feel like I just ate a handful nuts. Of hazelnuts and washed it down with this Fall Summit Amber Ale.
Oh, did you smell it?
Yeah. Yeah, it smells very nutty.
It does, yeah. Oh, it smells super nutty. I think I'm going to love it.
Let's see.
Oh, you shook your oh, head like, no.
I forgot to give it a number. Oh, yeah, no. Ugh. Yeah. That's a 2-. It's interesting, so I got to give it credit for that.
Oofta.
Yeah, oofta minus.
All right, so I'm going to smell it again, because if nothing else, no. I love the smell of
it's
it.
It's a 1.
Oh.
I just can't do
Criminy.
It. Criminy. Yeah.
I do love the smell of this. Here we go. Oh, yeah. I like that. I'll have to take another one.
Yeah, you do.
My first instinct have to was to put two. A 5 on it.
Really?
Yeah.
If you like it, then you better put a 5 on it.
If you like it, then you better put a 5 on it. If you like it, then you better put a 5 on it.
Oh.
Okay. Second swig. You can't get rid of the jingles, so you just embrace them, and now you write them.
That's right.
Yeah, I can't give it a 5 because it's not up there with that Quick Trip beer or the last Patrick Moffitt beer that we did the last episode. But I am going to give it a 4. Ah, geez, it's good.
All right.
And speaking of ah, geez, I have to thank Rachel. Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop of the week.
Rachel of Rachel Reports sent me a birthday card, and inside the birthday card was a sticker that said, Ah, geez. So, yes. Thank you very much for that, Rachel. And Patrick, thank you so much for this beer. We have had a lot of fun testing those beers, and it took us a long time, but we have finally completed the Western beers. And overall, I'd say, you betcha we loved them.
That's right.
I mean, some of them we didn't love, but we love you, Patrick. So, you betcha we loved them.
Absolutely. Thank you, Patrick.
Yes, thank you, Patrick. And I hope we have a good Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
And will. I hope that everyone listening had a good Thanksgiving. And I'll see you next Central Standard Time.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's it. That's the podcast. Thanks for listening. You can find us on Twitter at Midwest Bias Pod. And you can email your questions and comments to MidwestBiasPod@gmail.com. Be sure to rate and review and subscribe or follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Overcast, that's where I get my podcasts. And no, Overcast is not a sponsor of this podcast yet. But Best Rubber Stamp is. Thanks so much to Best Rubber Stamp and Christopher Giannini and all the folks over there. You can find them at bestrubberstamp.net. Email them at stamps@bestrubberstamp.net. Or give them a call at 901-278-4500. Mention Midwest Bias, get 20% off your first order. And especially be sure to rate and review this podcast if you really like it. If you don't like it, no worries. Don't even waste your time. Really, it's fine. So thank you. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you. Bye now.
But we've got beer.